Our reading this evening is from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was active as a prophet in the last days of the kingdom of Judah at the end of the 7th century and the beginning of the 6th century before Christ. He witnessed all of the tragedies which came upon the kingdom of Judah and the city of Jerusalem after the death of the last good king of Judah, King Josiah. Those tragedies culminated in the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple, which had been built by King Solomon. A large part of the population of Jerusalem and Judah was sent into exile at that point. The people of Judah were scattered from their homeland and made to live in a strange land. Since so much of Jeremiah's book deals with those sad events, his name gave rise to a common noun in the English language, the word Jeremiad. A Jeremiad is a long and mournful complaint or lamentation, a list of woes. And it's true that much of what we find in the book of the prophet Jeremiah fits that description of mournful complaint about what was going on in his time and the listing of all the woes that were happening. Which is to say that Jeremiah proclaimed the law of God with all its harshness in the midst of the specific circumstances of his time. One of the problems of Jeremiah's time, which he addressed extensively, was this. There were many who claimed to be prophets, who claimed to speak the word of the Lord in the name of the Lord God of Israel, but in fact they were not prophets. They were not called by God, and they had no revelation from God to communicate. They were people who had figured out how to become popular and influential with powerful people and others by telling them what they wanted to hear. Jeremiah had harsh words for these false prophets, the prophets whose message was peace, peace, in a time when there was no peace. Concerning the false prophets, Jeremiah said, "My heart is broken within me, and all my bones tremble." About them he spoke in the name of the Lord, "Woe to the false prophets who are speaking, who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings," says the Lord. But our reading for this evening from chapter 23 is one of the prophet's beautiful prophecies of better times to come. "The days are coming," says the Lord through his prophet, "days which would be different from those difficult days at the end of the kingdom of Judah." He foresees the coming of one outstanding individual. He says, "I will raise to David a branch of righteousness." David had been a shepherd and a king. The prophet Isaiah had foretold a century and a half before Jeremiah that God would cause a shoot to spring forth from the stump of Jesse, the father of King David. This shoot, this new life from the line of King David, would become a branch of righteousness, in Jeremiah's words. This one would reign and prosper and execute perfect judgment and justice in the earth. What does a good ruler do for a nation? Well, he does what he can to provide an environment characterized by peace, prosperity, and justice, in which people can work with their potential to achieve happiness. The result of the shepherd king's reign, the prophet Jeremiah prophesied, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell in safety. The people of God will enjoy deliverance and find peace and rest and prosperity. Who is this shepherd king foreseen by the prophet? He gives us a name by which this one can be identified. "This is the name by which he will be called," says the prophet, "the Lord, our righteousness." What did this mean in the Old Testament when it is said that the name of a person or a thing is such and such? Isaiah used that same kind of expression, didn't he, in prophesying about the Christ. He said, "His name will be called Emmanuel. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, this kind of expression is very much like the expression that we use in English when we say the name of the game is such and such. What is that referred to? Many, many years ago in high school, I had a football coach who, when he wanted to express his displeasure with the performance of our team, which was frequent, used to say something like this: they call it football, but the name of the game is blocking and tackling. Well, what was he trying to get at? He was trying to communicate what the essence or the most important aspect of the game was. The name of the game, if you're playing football, is blocking and tackling. That's the essence of the game. If you do those things well, you will likely succeed. But if you do them poorly, you will likely fail. Well, the prophet Jeremiah is trying to show us what the essence or the most important aspect of the shepherd king would be about whom he prophesied. The Lord our righteousness, he said, is his name. Or you can make it a statement: the Lord is our righteousness. This expresses the most important aspect of the reign of the shepherd king the prophet spoke of. Yahweh, the God of Israel, provides a righteousness for his people. Why does he need to do that? Because his people have no righteousness in themselves. The Christ, the Savior, has this as his essential work, to provide a saving righteousness for his people. And so he receives the name, the Lord is our righteousness. And he carried out, and he carried that out in every aspect of who he was and what he did. He was Yahweh, the Lord God of Israel, and he was a shoot from the stump of David. He was God and he was man. His life was a life of righteousness. His death was the sacrifice for all of human unrighteousness. His resurrection was the declaration of the fact that his righteousness was sufficient for all. St. Paul ties this all together with his well-known words: he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification, our being declared righteous. This was the essence of his work. The Lord is our righteousness. This is the name by which he is called. Now, there is something very interesting that happens in the prophecy of Jeremiah with regard to this name. 10 chapters later, in chapter 33, the prophet comes back to the same issue again, and he declares essentially the same prophecy concerning the shepherd king from the line of King David, once again in almost exactly the same words. But there is one significant difference the next time he does this prophecy. When he comes to the name, the prophet does not say in the second instance, and this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Rather, he says, this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Well, who is this she to whom he refers? Well, he means the city of Jerusalem and its population. In other words, the people of God. The people of God are called by their Savior's name. The essence of his work was to provide a righteousness, and that righteousness is given to them, and they are called by his name. What was your baptism all about? In it, the righteousness of the Son of God was given to you. The Lord was proclaimed to be your righteousness. When Jesus was baptized, the voice of God from heaven proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And when you were baptized, God said, "This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased." What is your hearing of the word of absolution all about? You are forgiven. The Lord is your righteousness. What is your partaking of the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ all about? The Lord is your righteousness. You are called by his name. The prophet Isaiah wrote concerning the people of God, "You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name." In the gospel, he gives you that new name. Blessed are you in the name that God bestows on you. The Lord is your righteousness. Amen.